was your age?
Well, you know, it's like that passage, I believe it's Jeremiah, you know, the Lord says, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And there's a picture of me in third grade. We were very much Presbyterian. And for career day, I was Billy Graham. So I had a sense of really admiring ministers. And so even as a second grader in Bible study and in Sunday school, I remember a Bible study teacher telling me that I was going to be a minister one day. And she was right. But when we became Catholic, I remember probably as a junior or senior in high school taking the prospect of a priestly vocation much more seriously.
Mm. And then as you got older, it became more evident, I guess, joined seminary. Was your family surprised that you entered seminary?
You know, my mom says that when she looked at me as a kid, she's like, what is this guy going to do? but they were really overjoyed. I went and told my parents when I was about a rising junior in college. I'd spent the summer working at a Catholic program in New York, and my parents picked me up from the airport, and I said I needed to talk to them, and we went out for dinner, and I said I'm thinking about being a priest, and they were more excited than I was, so it was kind of they were just grateful for the potential of the call.
Yeah, and then once you were ordained, as I mentioned back in 2018, you've had a few assignments, and I thought maybe you'd just talk a little bit about that. Parochial vicar, first of all, at St. Monica Church in Dallas, and then also the director of the SMU Catholic Center, which must have felt very close to home since you were literally close to home, and now, of course, pastor at Our Lady of Angels. Talk about that journey and maybe some of the highlights of those assignments.
Well, at St. Monica, I had the joy of working with Father Michael Guadagnoli, and he just taught me so much about just loving God and loving priestly ministry and just trusting in the Lord when things get really busy. So he was such a calm hand in those first 2 years. Great school there, great community, beautiful bilingual community, so I got to practice a lot of my Spanish there, so I was always grateful for that. And then when I was assigned to serve at SMU, it was, again, really grateful. College was when I really started to take the priestly vocation more seriously and really had to make more intentional decisions for God as a college student. So to go back and walk with young men and women who I recognize myself very much in, just in terms of their spiritual journeys, getting my hand at administration and all the thing that comes with running a building and having a staff, and then feeling just prepared in all of those things now as a pastor, where those same experiences exist, but on a bigger level, I see how everything has kind of prepared me for pastoral ministry and administration.
Is there a particular part of your priesthood that you enjoy the most? I'm sure there's a lot of facets to being a priest, but is there a particular part of it that really brings you, you know, a lot of joy?
Well, there's certainly the stuff that only a priest can do, you know, hearing confession, celebrating Mass are all really at the center of priestly life. On a more particular level, I really enjoy preparing homilies, diving into sacred scripture, pondering the people I'll be preaching to and hearing the word myself. And also, I love talking to people who are thinking about becoming Catholic, hearing their questions, and really showing how the fullness of truth is found in full communion of the Catholic Church. It never gets old. Never gets old.
Yeah, let's talk about the parish itself. 25 years old, which really makes it a relatively young parish in the Dallas Diocese. I know there are some parishes that go back into the 19th century in
right.
the Dallas Diocese. So 25 years is, you know, a long time, but at the same time, it's relatively young. And one of the things I find fascinating about Our Lady of Angels is that there have only been two pastors, Monsignor John Bell for a long time, and now you for a while. But what can you tell us about, or what have you heard, or, you know, even the beginning of this parish, how it came about, or what
sure.
historically should you tell us about it?
Well, I try to assure my parishioners that I am older than the parish. you know, I'm only 8 years ordained. I'm not 25. The parish actually started as a branch off of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Plano. Monsignor Henry Petter was the pastor, and in the late 90s, Plano was growing so fast, and there was Seton was just packed, standing room only. And so Bishop Grauman and his team recognized the need to meet that growth and to build. So they started in what was to be the North Plano Parish, ended up being the West Allen Parish, a little outside of Plano, but that's why Our Lady of Angels was started.
Yeah, and there's a lot of space there. There's a lot of land. You know, are there plans of building anything new or any kind of construction projects or what's that?
We're going to launch our presentation of our master plan. We've been working at it for the past 6 months or so with a campus planning company, and we just had a soft launch with our parish council and finance council and staff last week. They're very excited, but eventually we plan to build a permanent church, move the rectory to the campus, expand our parking, and make the parish even more a place where the sacramental life is really just crowns our little corner, or God's little corner of the universe here in West Allen.
I mentioned Monsignor John Bell, and of course, longtime pastor there, over 20 years, I'd imagine. What do you know about him? What do the parishioners recollect about him and the fond memories? I know he's still alive, but as the pastor there, what can you tell us about his contribution to that parish?
Monsignor Bell always kept Jesus at the center, and he's the founding pastor. He had a very complicated job because he was also the judicial vicar for the diocese and had been for the past 30 years, just recently retired from that role and succeeded by Father John LeBone. But so he was judicial vicar, he was the founding pastor, and thanks to his pastoral care and leadership, they built our temporary church, the parking lot, the education and formation building here, the second floor. And they were originally planning to build a school here, but that the diocesan plans changed for that. They're focusing more on a regional school right now, Mother Teresa Catholic School. But Monsignor Bell spearheaded all of that. And I remember the first time I came here for a mass was his farewell mass in the spring of 2024. And I was moved to tears just because his parting legacy was just very much Jesus Christ, and it was very evident that Our Lady of Angels was not built on a personality of a man or anything like that. It was built through Monsignor's leadership on the Lord, and it's been a gift just to take over the helm from that try to carry that on myself.
So how was it to, you know, replace, I guess, for lack of a better word, somebody who had been there so long, literally the history of the church? And also you mentioned jokingly about being young and you're a young priest, to come in like that. What was that? What kind of feelings did you have about that transition?
Well, you know, the people, I like to call it OLA for short, OLA, Our Lady of Angels. The people of OLA are, again, very much grounded in the Lord, I think led by their pastor. They're excited for the next stages in our campus development and our work of the gospel. We've just started a conference at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, which itself is just continuing off something the team started way before I got here. So, I think it's always, change is always hard, but at the same time, I think when we all are grounded in the Christ and his church, then it really has been a very smooth transition. And Monsignor Bell has still been very much in the picture, helping out with masses and confessions. I was sick a couple of weeks ago. He covered a mass for me so I could get some rest. So he's still very much in the picture, and still chaplains are Knights of Columbus. So he's not gone or forgotten, and he still is very much a huge help to me.
Yeah, Father Wade Bass is my guest, pastor of Our Lady of Angels Parish in Allen. Their website, not too hard to remember, ourladyofangels.com. I think I can commit that to memory. Ourladyofangels.com, located at 1914 Ridgeview Drive in Allen. It's barely in Allen. It's in the southern part of Allen. I think you said the western part. Mm-hmm. And I know my mom lives really close, and she's in Plano. And so it's an interesting location there. You mentioned, Father Bass, a couple of times about building a permanent church. Well, what is there now? And was it always designed to be something temporary while you were waiting to build a permanent church? Or what is the current structure where you worship?
Yes, very much meant they always would refer to it as the worship center because they didn't want people to think this is going to be the permanent church. It was probably be a gym for the school that was originally planned to be here, but we'll probably think there's still a lot up in the air about what it might become, but the plan would be to build on the high point of our property, a parish church, cruciform, with Christ in the Eucharist at the highest part of our campus, showing how everything flows from Christ's sacrificial offering and leads back to it. So it's we're at the top, the crest of a hill in Allen. So people driving up to the parish, or in the area will see the church pointing to the Lord and calling people to Him.
Yeah, praise God. Do you have any guess of when, and I know it's going to be a ways in the future, but if you had to guess when this new church would be either started or completed, any guess about that?
Well, it depends on what folks are willing to support. Right now, we're going to focus on expanding our parking lot and it's been great to see the growth, so we're going to add about 50 new parking spaces here, hopefully in the next half year or so. We're going to move a rectory to the property, but churches are a big project, so we're still in the very early stages. We've just kind of identified where it would go and about approximately what shape it will have, but the design phase is still far off in the future.
Well, it seems like the 25th anniversary is a very good opportunity while you're celebrating anyways to say, hey, let's look at the next 25 and what do we want it to look like. By the way, Bass is pastor of Our Lady of Angels Parish in Allen. Their website, ourladyofangels.com, located on Ridgeview Drive in Allen, celebrating 25th anniversary this year. And if you go to that website, you'll see it says, praising God for the past, glorifying Him for our future. And I know there also are a lot of events and celebrations and things that have already happened and things that are going to happen, Father. So what did y'all plan, and what was the idea of how to celebrate this anniversary year this year?
So one of the things you learn as a priest very much is your weaknesses, what you cannot do. And so I am not very good at event planning, but I was able to form a committee chaired by Chrissy Sarter and Maureen Tickner, who are helping us do a bunch of lead-up events. And so we're having a Works with Faith Day where we're going to go out to different parishioners in the community and other community members to help them with yard work and things like that, go to Mass first together, strengthened by the Eucharist, go serve the community. We've had movie nights. We're going to have Our Lady of Angels Night at the Frisco Rough Riders on June 30th. So I'll be throwing out the first pitch. Our choir is going to sing the national anthem. It's going to be a lot of fun out in the community as well. And then August 1st, we're going to have our 25th anniversary gala and fundraiser chaired by Lori Springer. And then August 15th, our actual anniversary, the Solemnity of the Assumption of Mary, we're going to have a free parish-wide celebration and picnic after our 25th anniversary Mass.
Yeah, I see that there's a graphic on the website with all these Work with Faith Day, June 20th, and as you mentioned, June 30th with the Frisco Rough Riders. Why get to throw out the first pitch? Are you going to are you going to do a fastball, a slider,
well,
a curveball?
I got a parishioner who was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 60s, and so he and I are going to practice throwing some heaters to each other. otherwise, we'll see if my cross country career bears any effect on my baseball career.
Well, we will see. That'll be exciting. And so there's also, I notice, a date still to be determined where you'll be dedicating the Monsignor Bell Pavilion. Tell us about that.
So this is a project that was started before I arrived, but it's almost done. A basketball pavilion, a picnic pavilion, and a playground, a way of just continuing to build community, helping young families to find friends here, to pray together, to help their kids grow in prayer and in love with Jesus Christ. So it's a great project that was started before me, and one of the first things I've had the chance to work on here is finishing it up and hopefully dedicating it here in the next couple of weeks in honor of Monsignor Bell and his legacy.
You mentioned one of the things you enjoy is writing homilies, and I've heard many times that you're a very, very good homilist and very talented at preaching the word. Well, what is your strategy? How much time do you take for a typical Sunday, sermon homily? What is your methodology there?
Start as early in advance as possible. What is God saying to me? What is he saying to the people? What does this word mean in and of itself? What action is God calling us to? Always just breaking open the heart of sacred scripture, which is a living encounter with Jesus Christ, and showing how that encounter then leads to really encounter him even more deeply in the Eucharist. So it's 8 years as a priest. I'm almost through my third 3-year cycle of the readings, and I have yet to even approach, I think, scraping the surface of the Word of God. But certainly starting early and digging deep is absolutely essential.
The two celebratory events that you mentioned, August 1st with the gala and fundraiser, and then the Mass and celebration at Ola Free Parishwide event. Are tickets already available for the August 1st event? If people even outside the parish would like to go, can anybody come?
Well, it's seating's extremely limited. It's a ticketed event because we're trying to both fundraise for the parish and also due to the location of the event, we're trying to prioritize parishioners. But the event on August 15th is open to all parishioners. It's totally free. And if people are coming to Mass that evening, our Knights of Columbus will be cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. People can see the master plan. The event on August 1st, we want it filled 100%, but I know we certainly would love our parishioners to be the first to sign up so that they could help support the parish.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense. And again, OurLadyOfAngels.com is the website, and probably more likely direct people, if they want to come and see the parish and see what it's all about and meet Father Bass, go to the August 15th, which is the celebration, I think you said, of the founding of the parish on the Feast of the Assumption. And we are down to our last few minutes here with Father Wade Bass, pastor of Our Lady of the Angels Parish in Allen. And you mentioned the parishioners a number of times, and one of the blessings that I have working in Catholic radio is I get to go to a lot of parishes. And I notice every parish, although there's that common, Catholic bond, every parish is different. Every parish has a different feel, a different, if I can use the word charism, I guess you could say. What is it about the people of Our Lady of Angels? How would you describe just that community and what you've encountered these couple of years that you've been the pastor?
You know, we are the smallest parish in our area. We've got about 1,800 families. I think the next smallest is probably 3,000 families, and the next smallest probably 7,000 families. You get up to 15,000 family parishes around us. And so I'm the only priest here, and yet even though we're surrounded by North Texas, by civilization, it still has a small-town feel to it. And we actually have people coming from other places just because it's a little more, feels a little more close knit. And so there's just a community strength here that's grounded, again, not on cliques or anything, but grounded in Christ and his church. And with 1,800 families, we hope to grow as big as we need to be to meet the needs of the city. But it's a nice size. There are people who know your name, say hello every weekend, young families, older families. retirees. It's just, I don't know, it feels like a small town parish and everything good that comes with that.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier in the interview about somebody had predicted that you would be in some kind of ministry one day, and clearly they were right, and now you've been a priest for 8 years. You strike me as somebody who's enjoying what you're doing. You're enjoying the vocation. These 8 years have been a great blessing. Can you describe what being a priest in general has meant to you and how it's been a blessing to you?
Yes, it's a life of complete dependence upon God, of digging into the Word and the sacraments and drawing strength from the one whom we proclaim every weekend and every day in Mass. So following Jesus as a priest has changed my life, and it's a pure gift because I do not deserve it. And I do hope that if I can, with God's help, I can inspire more young men to discern the priesthood, especially from Our Lady of Angels, because it's an amazing life and one I do not deserve at all.
What are the Mass times on the weekends?
Saturday, we have an anticipatory Mass at 5 p.m., and then Sundays, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
All right, and if anybody would like to go visit Our Lady of Angels Parish, meet Father Bass, meet people in the community, you're always welcome to go out there, 1914 Ridgeview Drive in Allen, 75013. OurLadyOfAngels.com is the website. This is a good year to go because they're all happy celebrating the 25th anniversary of the parish. And also, thanks to the founding and the leadership of Monsignor John Bell, as Father Bass said, who led that parish for over two decades. So, Father Bass, would you be able to leave our listeners with a blessing before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Blessed Mother Mary, and the angels who all adore him and love him. I ask that the listeners of today's show and all men and women of goodwill may fall more in love with you through your church, our mother as well. I ask that you, God, bless us all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Bass, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and learning more about the parish and also this great celebration that y'all are having, celebrating 25 years at Our Lady of Angels Catholic Church. OurLadyOfAngels.com is the website. And thank you again to Father Bass. And also, thanks everybody for listening and for your support of all of our great parishes around the Diocese of Dallas. This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. If you have suggestions for future interviews, you can always email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you.
Ready for a morning of spiritual renewal? The Saturday morning of reflection, titled Mercy in the Spirit, is scheduled for Saturday, June 13th, from 9 a.m. until noon at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House in Lake Dallas. Throughout the morning, explore God's mercy and the transformative fruits of the Holy Spirit. Refresh your soul for spiritual renewal and a deeper understanding of God's love. For more information or to register for the Saturday morning reflection, visit MontserratRetreat.org. That's MontserratRetreat.org.
Hi, and welcome to the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas on 9:10 a.m. and 11:40 a.m. to the west. We are glad that you are with us. This is an opportunity every week, two times during the 3 o'clock hour, to bring you interviews of inspiring stories and people here locally in the North Texas area that are helping to build up the body of Christ and doing amazing things. It's always been one of the favorite parts of my job is doing these interviews. And today I have in studio a friend who I have known for many years, and our daughters are friends, and his wife and daughter have been up here volunteering with us, so that we've always had a close connection on many fronts. His name is Michael Walsh, and Michael and his wife, Carolyn, are parents to five daughters, and ranging from high school to adulthood. And the reason that Michael is here today is to talk about his own personal testimony in moving from Flower Mound to Veritatis Splendor, which is the community in the Diocese of Tyler in the city of Winona that you likely have heard about. And Michael is currently serving as president of Veritatis Splendor. But really what we want to talk about is his own testimony of why he left North Texas and moved East Texas and what life is like in the community of Veritatis Splendor. By the way, the website, splendorhq.com, if you want to check it out. So, Michael, welcome, and thanks for sitting down.
Thank you, Dave. Good to see you again.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of pre-interview or a lot of discussion about this, but I really would just like to know your story. And you're a lifelong Catholic, right? Born into a Catholic family, married a Catholic. It's always been, Catholicism has always been a big part of your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fifth generation Irish Catholic. My great-great-great-grandfather, Thomas and Martha, came across on the boat, weren't welcome at Ellis Island, and just kept going south through all the states until they hit the tip of Texas, 6 miles from Reynosa, Mexico, no further south, and then they settled. One of the original families in McAllen and Mission, Texas, and my family basically did farming, cotton. I grew up picking cotton, and then cotton's a very hard business, Dust Bowl, Great Depression, learned some hard lessons, my grandfather, and then we went into citrus, and so the cotton business was the cash cow to fund citrus. My dad's children were the only ones still picking cotton while everybody else moved to citrus. Mm. I highly recommend citrus over cotton. It's a lot easier to pick.
So, yeah. They're both necessary, but
So Irish Catholic, the church was literally next door to us because we're, you know, some of the original families there. I have fifth generation neighbor friends, you know, that the Walls and the Walshes grew up together. Four priests in my family, two nuns, celebrated, you know, Mass with John Paul II. Nun, 70 years of service, the greatest generation, basically. My biggest spiritual advisor or mentor, you know, that inspired me is Father Walsh. He's an Army chaplain, stormed the beaches of Normandy, giving last rites, and got shot twice. So it's rare to see a chaplain with Bronze Star Combat V, Purple Hearts.
Any relation to you?
He's my father, or my grandfather's brother.
Oh, okay.
So, and then my middle name is after him.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. Well, thank you for that. And of course, like I said, married Carolyn, and now you've got the five daughters. When did Veritas? Well, let me back up and just I don't want to assume that everybody just knows what Veritatis Splendor is. What is Veritatis Splendor? Can you kind of just give an overview of what exactly we're talking about in this community in the diocese? I know it's not officially associated with the Diocese of Tyler, but it's geographically in the Diocese of Tyler. Would that be accurate to say?
That's accurate. Veritatis Splendor is many things, but I liken it to a Catholic village. To me, it's an ark. For families, not an ark of squalor, 2x2 installs, but rather, you know, almost 600 acres of beautiful land that reminds me of Ireland. Very lush, very green, not like the Texas I grew up in, not like the hill country where my dad retired to, and very bountiful, plenty of rain, and just a place that's probably like how my grandparents grew up, where the kids all play in the neighborhood, everybody knows each other, and everybody is unapologetically Catholic. You know, though there are Christians there that, you know, aren't necessarily Catholic, but we're working on them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so it's not, you don't have to show a Catholic card to move
in
there.
No, under the law, you can't discriminate on race, creed, or religion. So,
yeah. So you mentioned, it sounds kind of Norman Rockwell-ish, you know, it's just kind of almost like an age that's passed where people know their neighbors and the kids are running around and people feel safe. And there's no perfect place, but
no, absolutely not.
That's really what was trying to be established. And what was the, you know, because I know you have not been around since the beginning, is that kind of why this community was formed in the first place, the original intention?
I think there's many reasons, and it had many missions. The original, like, splash to social media was a video of the original founders and bishop at the time, and that spoke to me, and I felt like that's where I need to retire to and then raise my last child there and make a nice, what I'd call an ancestral home for my children to come back to. Hopefully one day, because, you know, four of them are in college or out of college now. And you would think if God's calling you that it's going to work out. I entered the lottery. I did not win. Second lottery, did not win. So I sat on the sidelines, you know, afar.
Now, when you say a lottery, the lottery was to even get a lot in the first
place?
Yeah,
I don't know exactly details, but there was only 74 lots and 2,000 people, you know, plus, I think. I wasn't there, applied or entered the lottery. And then a second lottery, and then multiples. And I just started driving out from Dallas and volunteering on the grounds committee, like the lowest level.
Even though you didn't have a property?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then 3 years later, I finally was able to get a lot.
Okay. That was a smart move.
I wanted to get yourself in there. Yeah, and just get to know the people. And is this really, you know, where God wants me? Why am I delayed? I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is. I had kids in high school. We have three service academy appointments from senators. And, you know, timing for move is difficult because if you move your kid and they can't just show up and be the captain of the sports team, NHS president, all this in a new, you know, high school. And so if I had got the initial lot, it would have been great, but I had to kind of wait once I did a lot, let my third born get her appointment.
So you got a lot and then you built your own house out there. Is it, just designed their own house or is there a certain format or kind of they look alike or what?
I think it's kind of more like a ranch style community, kind of old style. I don't know the Fibonacci equation or, you know, the symmetrical of styles. We've got some standards there. My original lot, the timing that I got it, I could not finish a build in time for our fifth daughter to start high school or eighth grade. And so we ended up buying a house that was available. And so we have a house and a lot. And, you know, I still would like to build on that lot, something called concrete insulated form house, very strong, stable. I have a stick build is what I bought, you know, and it's good enough for now.
What is the spiritual life like? You told me before we started recording, there's rosary walks. And I mean, if somebody drives into Veritatis Splendor, they're going to see priests and nuns walking around, families doing rosary walks. How like overtly Catholic does it feel and look?
It depends on the time of day, you know, to some degree, because a lot of the dads and whatnot, you know, go to work. But in the Catholic Church, we are what's called a private association of the Christian faithful under Canon 299. We are a juridic person called to alms, acts of good works. The mission is to cultivate a community of Catholics by protecting the family unit, proclaiming the gospel, and preserving the culture and customs of our faith, in a nutshell. Our liturgical life, because technically we have to have one to be classified, you know, as a church under federal law and under Texas law. So the rosary is a part of our liturgical daily. The liturgy of the hours, usually just Vespers formally, and then doing Lauds on your own. The Angelus, First Saturday devotions. I'm on my 11th, I think. So I guess lapping. We honor feast days, Rogation days. We do Catholic processions, you know, big cross for young men in cassocks, and then the community, you know, basically for harvest season coming up. So either the major or minor Rogation days.
Do you have a church on property?
Yes, we do. I'm now attending when I'm there. I travel a lot. Holy Family Parish, Father Silverarch, great priest. The chapel on property is Holy Family Chapel. It was established as a mission of Holy Family Parish. And it was also used as a springboard for an oratory and formation. We had two priests, three brothers in seminary, and that oratory ended up not completing its formation and, you know, basically being disbanded. And so, you know, we still have a beautiful chapel, still consecrated by a bishop. We do, you know, whatever lay people typically can do in there, chaplets of Divine Mercy, chaplet of St. Michael, Liturgy of the Hours, rosaries. In inclement weather, we do rosaries in there. Normally, we have what we call the Rosary Walk, which we may have 500 people doing that here shortly on Cinco de Mayo. We have the actor from the House of David coming, and I think that's going to probably be our biggest one yet. And basically, we take from the chapel to the top of the place and back. Every road at Veritas Splendor has been blanketed with prayer. When we have Rogation Day processions, people bring dirt from their farms, you know, their houses, and from our gardens, and we bless them and exchange them.
The priest you mentioned, is he a diocesan priest, or where does he come from?
So we have retired priests who spends time with us, mainly during Lent, you know, giving soup and stations with us, that sort of thing.
Michael Walsh is my guest. He is as he mentioned, owns a house and also a lot at Veritatis Splendor, which is a community in East Texas in the city of Winona, just north of Tyler. Their website is splendorhq.com, splendorhq.com. You mentioned how difficult it was initially to win that lottery with 1,000 people, you know, going for 70 lots. Is it currently filled up? Are there still availabilities? What if somebody's listening right now and saying, wow, that sounds really appealing? What should they do?
Right now is actually a really good time. With the oratory, you know, not being, you know, built, there were some people that kind of decided maybe not to build. And there may be some people who bought lots as a future retirement place or whatever. So we're definitely encouraging as many people as possible. If they're not ready to build, maybe turn over their lots to families, you know, from Dallas, from Tyler, that, you know, it's an hour and 50-minute commute to get to the airport, you know, if that, hour and a half, depending on how fast you drive. And it's a great place for your family to be. You know, I'm a little different. I'm a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. And in the church, my charism, a knight, a question order. It's kind of weird having a cardinal put, you know, spurs on you and a not mm-hmm. worthy of a sword over you to bless you. But my charism is military, a militant. My patron saint is St. Michael. And, you know, for me, if I were to hold up a hand, spiritual security first and foremost, physical security, water security, food security, and then lastly, energy security. And the whole premise of the project was spiritual security from the beginning. Since I've come there, you know, I'm fighting really hard to keep the roads that we own them, and they're, you know, nobody has the right to be on them. Water security, we're very blessed. We have two deep wells at two different aquifers. Very, you know, and then we have amazing rainfall and probably 10 or more springs on property. And then food security, we currently produce 7,000 pounds of beef and 20,000 pounds of blueberries from the property. So we're probably a net exporter of calories. And I think that's a goal we'd like to continue. And if we grow like phase two and three, once we fill up this phase one, then we're blessed to be surrounded by basically ranch land that people, you know.
Is the goal self-sustainability within the community?
If you, Pope Leo XIII, and I'm really bad with Latin, but I think it's Rerum Novarum.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. Basically, famous encyclical, yes.
You know, basically as a reaction to the industrial age, and you know, could argue we're in our fourth or fifth, however you want to look at it. But basically, trying to encourage families to get back to living in union with the land and the church, the nuclear family, the children in Dallas with five children. I was kind of like, oh, five children there. I'm like, only five, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a different, you know, focus. And the Catholic land movement is something that we're really supportive of. That's, you know, being revitalized. I think even Pope Francis and Pope Leo have embraced it. So it already had an apostolic letter from way back, and it's now being revitalized up in New York area. And it's just amazing.
Tell me about the multi-generational aspect of it, because you mentioned a lot of kids, but you also mentioned it's a retirement community. So multiple generations living in the same house?
Yeah, in this phase one, by design, it's what I call ancestral homes, where you have, say, the mom and dad and the children, and then you have a little walk to maybe in California, like an auxiliary dwelling unit, you know, a small place for the grandparents. And they can walk up the trail, you know, the gardens in the middle, work in the gardens with the children, pick the eggs, you know, mess with the goats. And I did probably 15 years of ministry. I've been a Eucharistic minister since canon law change in 86. I was the only minor in my district or diocese to be picked. And I don't necessarily feel comfortable on the altar. That just, I think that's better for the ordinary ministers. But I did go and visit assisted living and nursing homes for decades. And those Catholics are kind of abandoned. And when one dies, the other's alone. And we're trying to make it to where the grandparents are literally right there. And they every day go up and help prepare meals and pass on recipes. And if one passes, the other still has a reason to get up every morning and, you know, run with the little kids. Mm-hmm. So that's every lot in phase one allows two homes on it. So yeah.
What is the total acreage?
It's 550 plus. Some people round up to 600 initially. And in phase one is 74 two-ish acre lots. Some are like 1.9, some are 3 point something. And some people have combined lots. Like I combine, you know, two lots. So I have like 5 acres.
And most of the people live in there 12 months a year? Do you recommend it being more of a second home or a vacation home? Or would you rather have people that want to live there all the time?
Well, the Lord works through people typically, and so the more hands, the better. We do have a lot of refugees from blue states, you know, and also places like Canada, Ukraine, that where they don't have God-given inalienable rights, and their states are taken away from them. So they've come, and unfortunately, they don't all have green cards. And so they have to go back and recertify and all sorts of things. It's tough, really tough for them. So my pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, that was lifting up several community members so that they can be there full time.
I don't know when this is going to run, and it might run multiple times. So the event that I'm going to ask you about may be in the past, it may be in the future.
Yeah.
But you mentioned on May 5th, 2026, that there was a special event that May 5th, that is coming up as of the time that we're recording this, which is a pretty exciting thing. Can you tell our listeners what that event is?
Sure. I guess after our fourth annual Passion Play, which is kind of like Living Stations of the Cross, we had kind of upped the production value with better costumes than in the past. And I think EWTN or the National Catholic Register newspaper mm-hmm. was wanting to get some photos of it. And somehow it got circulated within Catholic actors area. And the production value is high enough that an actor from the lead actor from the House of David series, Michael Isklander, I've never met him, so I apologize if I butcher his last name, who is a, I believe, Coptic Christian by birth, immigrant at 10 years old to the United States, converted to Catholicism, you know, saw that and said, you know, who does this? And so this little Catholic village, and I think he wants to come and interview people to see why would you sell everything. Some people lived out of RVs to come here. Some people, you know, lived in trailers or whatever while their houses were being built, sold everything, and just, you know, family of seven in a small, you know, small trailer. And so I think he wanted to come and do that, and he's going to teach the children like how to do leatherworking, make slings like in the movie or the series House of David, play the lyre and maybe some snippets of the series, and then I think he's a closet. He loves Texas line dancing, and so I think the end, it's going to finish with that. So it should be really special. We've had a really large rosary walks, but this should be our largest. We'll probably hit at least 500, maybe, or more, 600 or 700, and that should be amazing.
Now, is the goal, you know, you talk about phase one, phase two, phase three. Is there ever going to be your own school? Are there grocery stores?
We currently have a homeschooling co-op with probably 100 plus kids going through that. I think our fourth annual visit from the Monfort brothers and some brothers up in Harvard area, we easily sell out that at 70 kids, you know, without even trying. And sisters come. We there was standing room only for vocations. So it's just a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, very nice. Michael Walsh is my guest, and I know your wife, Carolyn, and it's from what you said, she's really enjoying it as well.
Oh, she loves the rosary walks especially. And
yeah, it sounds peaceful. It sounds, just a lot kind of idyllic. I mean, I know no community is perfect, but what would you say if somebody is listening right now, how would they discern whether or not this is right for their family? What is that discernment process for them?
They should just come out. We have, I wouldn't call it like a bed and breakfast, but we have a couple rooms, you know, that we let guests stay in at we call the JP2 House or JP2 Center. The name Veritas Splendor is a famous encyclical of John Paul II and Preserve, Protect, Proclaim and basically around the family. And so, you know, just come and see it. You know, you have to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm. And are there different levels of prices of houses depending on somebody's financial situation? You say some people are bringing RVs out there.
Yeah, they're not on the property, but they live like in Winona, and then they built their house. I don't know of any houses currently available for sure. There might be one that is under contract. Mainly it's lots. And then there's three, it's kind of ironic, Canadian refugee builders that are building houses, and then some others.
Interesting. So. Yeah. I just interviewed a gentleman the other day who left Canada after 25 years in law enforcement and now lives down here in North Texas. So should they let you know they're coming? Do they need to email or go on the website or just show up?
I think it's bookings@splendorhq.com is, you know, if you want to come out, the website. Also, splendorhq.org is more the charity website. And on there, there's a link for the JP2 House to book it. But if it's not in the .com, we'll add it there as well, make it easy.
And the kind of event you're having early May, are there more events? Are there other things that are the intention is to draw people from outside the community to get in there and check it out and see some kind of, you know?
This one's very organic, the way it kind of happened. But yes, we have regular events. We have Oktoberfest, John Paul II, kind of a Polish theme, and that's many, many people with like cultural heritage and honoring that tradition of Catholicism. We want to get our St. Patrick's Day to be much Irish Catholic, so that's something I'd like to see rise up more. And then like the feast days, we have different things, St. John the Baptist bonfire, etc.
Now, I got to ask, you put a piece of paper in front of me with the nine choirs or orders of angels, something. This, you mentioned St. Michael the Archangel is one of your favorite saints.
Yeah, he's
my patron
saint.
Do you want to explain what this is, or do you want to pray one of these?
I don't think we have time to pray it, but basically I would encourage all the listeners to, in addition to the Rosary daily, the Divine Mercy Chaplet daily, especially in song, because like David, a man after God's own hearts because he sang his prayers, I believe. But if you pray this chaplet to St. Michael, it's pretty much impossible because you're, first with the seraphim, you're asking to burn the fire of perfect charity. With the cherubim, you're asking for the grace to leave the ways of sin and take onto the path of Christian perfection. Then you pay to the thrones and you want a spirit of humility and the dominions or dominations. You want to govern your senses and to overcome any unruly passions. You pray to the host of virtues or the choir of virtues. You preserve us from temptation. To the powers, you want to protect our souls from the snares and temptations of the devil. The principalities, you're asking for a true spirit of obedience. And then we think of archangels as the largest, but they're actually the eighth tier. And you want the faith in our good works to attain the glory of heaven, because faith without works is dead.
And then angels finally protect us in this mortal life to heaven. I've never seen anything like this.
It's amazing.
We got to wrap up, but is this available somewhere online, or where can they find it?
EWTN is where I took this from, and then there's a version in song that I'll give you. You can post on your site.
All right. Thank you very much. We're out of time, but Michael Walsh has been my guest, talking about his experience and his decision prayerfully to move to Winona, Texas, where the community of our Veritatis Splendor is. And if you're intrigued, or if you'd like to learn more about it, or maybe go out for a visit, go to splendorhq.com.
Do you want to give them my number?
.com. Yeah, real quickly.
214-868-6534. Any question, I'll be happy to answer.
All right. God bless. You can always email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, and I can put you in touch with Michael. So thank you, Michael, and thank you, Cecil, for running the board. This has been the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you. Thanks. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
HomeschoolConnections.com offers both live and self-paced online courses in a variety of subjects faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church for your 3rd through 12th grade student and your homeschool co-op. HomeschoolConnections.com courses are taught by instructors who are experts in their fields and who are committed to the Catholic faith. HomeschoolConnections.com can help you make homeschooling easier. HomeschoolConnections.com, a sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, and North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.